And we go from the phone lines to waiting before me here in studio, our final guest of the evening, somebody who has appeared on our airwaves a number of times. He's been on, whether he's been on this particular program. Actually, a couple of weeks ago, he was my guest during the South Shore's Morning News to talk about a little something going on in October. We'll actually touch upon that as we kind of say goodbye to him. He'll kind of remind folks about the event coming up. I think it's at Marshfield High School, correct?
That's correct.
That voice, of course, is none other than an author, a gentleman who is the president of the board of directors at Marshfield Community Television. And a good guy, none other than Dr. Joe Schrand, here to kind of talk about, do you really get me? And that's, I'm not just saying that as a metaphor, but it's a book that he has that we're going to sit here and we're going to discuss. And it's, I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't read it, but I was able to kind of go through it and get an idea. And there's some things that automatically kind of just dragged me in. So I already can have a little bit of a conversation with him, but I'm asking you to kind of go out and get this book, this being his fourth book, as a previous books that he has penned is the Fear Reflex and Outsmarting Anger, which is something that you did with Lee Devine, who you're actually kind of, this is another book that you're doing with her. She's in on this, helping you pen this too.
That's right. Lee Devine and I go way back. We've written four books together, and honestly, we're working on our fifth book.
Just out of the box, what is it like to write a book? Because I've had a chance to speak with authors, and everybody kind of has a different answer when it comes to sitting down, right? You know, you may have a transcript that's 1,500 pages deep, but you know that you're going to have to trim that down. What is it like to be able to put pen to paper and figure out what you exactly want to put a cover around?
Well, this is, I think, the most exciting part for me, because I want to translate state-of-the-art neuroscience into everyday application. So you're right. The way I have a process with it, actually, I give a talk on this through Harvard. It's about how do you write these self-help books. And my process is I go through the literature, so everything that you're going to read there is science-based and evidence-based, and then I cull that down and I make it translatable. So I take these, you know, deep science studies and say, here's how you can apply it every day. I call it bringing the wet lab to the bedside. But it is a process, you know, and I think you have to have your narcissism in check with this, because you're going to write and write and write and write, and you're going to throw away a lot of that stuff. But a lot of the stuff that you throw away actually can be used later for something else. So it's a win-win.
So if it lands on the cutting room floor, it's something that's kind of swept up and retained and maybe used later on.
Precisely.
And just to kind of throw in a little, you mentioned Harvard. You're an instructor of psychiatry at the Harvard Medical School, correct?
I am.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, geez. You're like an onion, Joe.
You know?
Peeling back the layers here. I love it.
I just hope it doesn't make you cry.
Well, I don't think it will. But you've, again, as I've mentioned, you know, Joe has done so many things here on the station. And I kind of left out that you, for a bit, you were doing stuff, the show that we do here, as far as drugs and addiction. Yourself and now Brockton Mayor Bill Carpenter kind of co-hosted the show that we have here on, I think it's on Thursday nights now, that Jim Hall does. We need you in a pinch, and you guys were here, and nobody knows the situation better than both you and Mayor Carpenter.
Yeah, I mean, that was a great honor. That was Common Ground, great show, really important, getting the message out about addiction and substance abuse. And, you know, that's the other hat that I wear is, I work as the medical director of CASEL, which is Clean and Sober Teens Living Empowered. It's part of High Point Treatment Center. And this will be the first public announcement. What I'm about to say, Kevin, is I have just been made chief of child and adolescent psychiatry through all of High Point Treatment Center. So I will now have oversight over all the child and adolescent programs that we do, helping kids with and without addiction. We're getting very deeply into the mental health component as well.
Well, definitely a congratulations, and maybe it's also a precursor to another conversation that you and I can maybe have in a couple of weeks down the road, if you so desire.
Yeah, okay, I'll think about it. I'll do it.
Okay, all right. Let's get back to talking about the book. What is the main thesis of Do You Really Get Me? And, of course, if you look at the bottom of the cover, it says finding value in yourself and others through empathy and connection. What does that statement mean?
Kevin, human beings are social animals. And we have evolved being social animals over millions of years. You know, in order to be a social animal, certain things have to be in place. We have to be able to basically read each other. Mm-hmm. We've got to be able to wonder what somebody else is thinking or feeling and hopefully get it right most of the times. The brain has evolved this important brain tool, and we call it this horrible scientific term, theory of mind. And it's not like a theory like we're not sure about it, but because we can't see somebody else's mind, I cannot see your mind, I have to theorize, I have to wonder, what are you thinking or feeling? But more importantly, what are you thinking or feeling about me? That's what I really want to know. I mean, it's really important to have empathy. And empathy is, how you doing? But what we really want to know is, what do you think about me? And if you think about it from an evolutionary point of view, this makes a lot of sense. Several millions of years ago, as we were evolving, it was much more important for me to know if you were looking at me as your lunch than if you were hungry. Right? Two different things. Mm. Are you looking at me as lunch means, am I in danger or can I trust you? And then, are you hungry means, would you be someone, should you be someone with whom I share my lunch? So it really, you know, it comes down to that idea. So theory of mind is what this book is about. And what I'm trying to do is get the public aware of this, because you're using it all the time. You're doing it all the time. So I think you have a right to know what's going on in the brain, but also what's going on in everyone's brain. So think about this. If I'm doing this, Kevin, you're doing it. And you know that's true. All of you listeners, you know that's true. You're assessing what somebody else is thinking or feeling about you. But they're doing it about you. They're wondering, what are you thinking or feeling about me? This is what theory of mind is all about. This is the power of it. How do we influence each other at any moment in time? Because that's happening. Right now.
Yeah, you touch upon a couple of different things as to what we try to do to be to belong. You know, the membership of culture. Lying. We all do it somehow in some form or fashion, whether it's we embellish a little bit or if we don't want to we want to maintain a certain status. We all do it.
We all do it. And you know, there are several types of lies, right? There's that lie about maintaining your own status, but there's a lie about helping somebody else feel good, too. Love your dress. You know, oh, your hair looks great. You know, we do that to preserve somebody's dignity. We care. We also do it, you know, think about, you know, Bernie Madoff. We can lie in a way that is incredibly malicious and dangerous to somebody else. So those are these very, very destructive lies. But we have this word for these other ones. We call them white lies. You know, they're not really that bad. And they're used to preserve, in part, your own sense of self and how other people see you. But this gets also to a core component of theory of mind. Why do we lie? Mm. We lie because we worry if somebody knows something about us, they will judge us, they will view us differently. So from a theory of mind point of view, a secret is not a secret because of what we've done. A secret is a secret because we worry, how will someone view me differently if they know my secret?
I have to say, is you've taken a different approach in putting together this book, because there are a series of exercises that you put in here. One of them built in. It's a way for you to kind of gauge yourself. Me tell a lie. That's one of your exercises where it's about a number of things that someone might tell a lie about, whether it's their health, their age, their background, their experience, and whom you might tell the lie to. Very interesting.
Yeah, and again, it's not about judging people. This is a critical aspect of my whole approach, because it gets into this idea of something I call the I am approach, mm-hmm. my current maximum potential. So back in 1982, I was doing my pre-med stuff, and I was taking physics. Kevin, are you still awake? Yeah, because every time I say the word physics, I'm telling you, people do just that. They fall asleep. Kevin, is that okay?
They like gloss over.
You know, come on over. Come on back.
Come back.
So in physics, the symbol, a capital I, stands for a potential current. So in 1982, I thought, well, what if I flip it upside down and I call it a current potential? And what if I start looking at everyone at a maximum current potential, just doing the best they can? And we've abbreviated that to I am. This is who I am. But we're influenced by four things. One of them is clearly theory of mind. Mm. We are really interested. Who we are today is influenced by how I think I perceive myself and how other people perceive me. It's then influenced by our biology. When somebody perceives you a certain way, it has a neurologic effect on you. Right? When somebody says, you're great, you feel differently than when somebody says, you're not so great.
Mm.
We feel differently. So the second domain is your biology. These two domains of your theory of mind and your biological domain are influenced by the two external domains of your home. No one's going to argue with me about that, that the home you've grown up in had an influence on who you are. And then the rest of the world, your social domain. So these four things interact all the time. But I believe that our response to those influences is the best we can do at that moment. Now, that doesn't mean you have to like it. It doesn't mean you have to condone it. It doesn't mean that it's a free ride. You're going to be held responsible for it. But rather than judge it, let's look at it again. Now think about those words. Again is re, and look is spect. This is a position of respect. And in one of my previous books, I asked the question, when is the last time you got angry at someone treating you with respect? Right? You don't. And you see, that then allows you to really look at yourself honestly. Mm. The book that I wrote just last year, called The Fear Reflex, introduced this whole I am approach. Because it was saying we fear things because we worry we're going to be judged, that we would be seen as less than. And the I am approach, and that's what Do You Really Get Me is pushing, is the idea that, you know, when you start looking at someone as doing the best they can at that moment in time, it gives them an opportunity to be honest with themselves and you.
You even go as far as, other than talking about I am and even doing an exercise to see if you are an I am, if you're a member of I am, and kind of give folks a chance to kind of, whether it's regular groups, whether it's political, whether it's somebody who engages in TV shows, whatever it may be, you give them that opportunity. But then you also kind of go to the other end of the spectrum. You talk about alienation, and that's something that we deal with in our culture. And it's chapter four, the price of not belonging. What goes into alienation?
Yeah, so this is the dark side of theory of mind. And it's part of our nature as well, that we will see someone as not being good enough to be part of our group. More than that, our group can say that group isn't even human. We call it dehumanizing. And you know what happens then. You look at what happened in World War II Germany, right? Part of that was dehumanizing and a sense of indifference towards an entire group of people.
Right.
But we do it here in little ways. I mean, sorry to say this, folks, but you have an ability at any moment in time to devalue someone. And we do it. We do it. And it hurts. And it hurts us when we do it to somebody else. You don't realize that. But when you think that somebody else is less than, you become someone that people become suspicious of or angry about and envious of. You begin drawing the same sort of negative feelings upon yourself. So what this book is trying to say is both of these parts are our nature. At any moment in time, you have an opportunity to remind someone of their value or to devalue them. And theory of mind is the vector, the brain tool that gets that done.
Where can folks, we've given them a little bit of a morsel. I definitely would like them to kind of check this out because I think they'll relate to some of the stuff that you have in here. And I think they'll enjoy doing the exercises and getting to know themselves a little bit better. How can folks be able to get Do You Really Get Me, your new book?
Well, right now it's on the shelves at Barnes & Noble's, at all the different bookstores. It's right up there on the shelf. You can also get it through Amazon. And please, if you do happen to get it through Amazon, I would really appreciate it if you write a comment about it, because the more comments we get, the more people go, oh, that's a whole bunch of people reading that. I better read that. I better get in on that game. The cover of Do You Really Get Me is a little cartoon of two people. You know that balloon that they have, the idea, the thought balloon in cartoons?
Mm-hmm.
It's a man and a woman wondering, do you really get me? Folks, we do this all the time. This is the tool that you're using. It's called Theory of Mind, and this is how you can get it done.
You just extracted the words out of my mouth. I was going to say that is a form of theory of mind, so to speak. Well, I want to give you an opportunity, other than talking about this book. I think there'll be more times for you to come back in and talk about the book. And again, like I said, you're like an onion. You peel it back so many layers to you. You have something wonderful that's going to be coming up. I want to say the first week of October.
It is. It's October 6th. And talk about theory of mind. We're tapping into theory of mind with this too. We are producing a show called Drug Story Theater.
Mm-hmm.
What we've done is we've taken teenagers in the early stages of recovery. We've taught them improvisational theater. So Andy Short from Improv Boston is their teacher and director. These kids then create a show about the seduction of addiction to and recovery from drugs and alcohol. It's crafted by Nicole Conlon, who is a professor at Massasoit. And then these kids are going to perform it for middle schools and high schools. So the treatment of one becomes the prevention of many. That's our slogan. The treatment of one becomes the prevention of many. What happens is all the kids get paid. So they get a little bit of money in their pocket, but the majority goes into a 529 educational fund for them, managed through You Promise Mutual Funds, because we are saying to these kids, you know what? We kind of expect that you're going to go to college. Or do some school after you graduate high school or get a GED. Mm. And there's going to be money put aside for you. We're doing that because we believe in you. Now, that's what Theory of Mind is all about. Theory of Mind sends a message to these kids that we see you as valuable. I want folks to come to Marshfield High School, October 6th, 7 o'clock at night. Middle schoolers and their parents in particular should come and see this show. Because during the day, all the high school is going to see it. We're doing two shows just for the high school.
Fantastic.
But the evening is a free show. You can donate if you want to through the PTO of Marshfield. And I just want to give a big shout out right now to Kiwanis, Marshfield Kiwanis and Dick Stenson. They have donated $1,500 to the show. And Marshfield Facts is behind it. And Jen Cantwell and Jim Cantwell and Matt McDonough is behind it. I mean, we got everything going. Because we're going to show these kids and tell them that Marshfield supports kids in recovery. We are proud of you, and we want you to succeed. And when that audience stands up and gives them an applause, from a theory of mind point of view, those kids are going to feel great. That feeling is better than any drug or alcohol they can ever, ever experience. They've done a show in June. We have 100% retention rate. So we have five kids and two parents in this show called The Price You Pay. And what the audience then learns is in between each scene, the kids teach you about what's going on in their brain. Their PowerPoint comes up, they show pictures, and they teach you what was happening. And you say, you know, the price you pay for being high is trust. That's, I guess that's a spoiler.
Spoiler alert. We've been privileged to have Dr. Joe Schrend here, not only to talk about his book, Do You Really Get Me?, but also talk about the show coming up October 6th. At Marshfield High School, 7 p.m.
Drug Story Theater.
Don't forget it. Be there, be square. Doctor, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Kevin. From a theory of mind point of view, I feel great.
That's another Monday Night Talk. Until next week at 6:15 p.m., have a great evening.